Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 107, and that which was our second scripture reading, Psalm 107. And reading verses 6 and 7, Psalm 107, verses 6 and 7. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And our subject this morning is the right way, the right way. Well, we gather this morning to consider these words before us in this 107th psalm, a tremendous psalm, an uplifting psalm. Really, this psalm is an exhortation to praise the Lord for his amazing love and for all the ways in which he hears the cries of his people. Our God is a prayer-answering God, and we know this very well, and this is something that is presented to us many times in this psalm. We see it in verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. What a wonderful God the Israelites knew. The Israelites were not like all the nations round about them. All the other nations had their gods, their idols, that were made of wood and stone. And they had ears, but they could not hear. They had eyes, but they could not see. They had mouths, but they could not speak. They were just the work of men's hands. So if you cried to them, they would not hear you. But the Israelites knew, of course, the true and living God, who could always see them, who could always hear them, who heard their prayers, and of course, answered their prayers in wonderful ways. Because, of course, not only could the Lord hear them and see them, the Lord is the Almighty God, the God who rules on high, the God who is able to do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for God. And so the Israelites saw this. He was able to deliver them out of every situation, no matter how difficult it was, and he did. And so this psalm really is a psalm of praise. The psalmist is exhorting all those who read this psalm or who sing this psalm to thank the Lord for his goodness and his gracious love toward his people. And we, of course, have that verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." That verse is also repeated several times throughout this psalm. And this is what we as Christians, this is what we endeavor to do. We urge all those around us, we exhort those around us to praise God. Why? Because he has done great things for us, even greater things than he did to ancient Israel. He has delivered us in a far greater way. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is why we are here. But we're also here this morning because I would like to focus on that verse 7 and what is written in these in this verse. "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." This is, again, of course, what we declare as Christians. This is the message that we bring to people. To follow the Lord is the right way. That is very clear. That is what is explained and presented throughout the whole of the scriptures. But why is it the right way? How is it the right way? Well, this is what we shall consider in the very brief time ahead of us. And I will be brief this morning, but these are wonderful words. "He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Now, the first thing to say is that in this psalm, the right way, the way that the Lord leads them, is contrasted with the way that the Israelites had previously been wandering. So in verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. So you have the contrast. You have the right way of the Lord and the wandering of the Israelites. Of course, well, if you don't know these things, I should explain them. Many of you will know that when the Israelites came out from Egypt under Moses, well, before they entered into the promised land, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They should have got to the promised land a lot earlier, but they were wandering fruitlessly. And why was that? Well, because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief in God. On several occasions, the Israelites showed that they had no faith. And at times, they even openly wished and declared that they had stayed in Egypt. They would say to Moses, "Why have you brought us out to this place? We wish we were back in Egypt. It was much better there." They were full of unbelief. They did not like the way in which they were going. They did not trust Moses. They did not trust God. They did not trust the way he was taking them. And so the Lord determined that for 40 years, they would just wander in the wilderness. If they don't like the way that God is taking them, they will wander. They will lose their way. They will be lost because of their unbelief. And really, this is my first application. This is what unbelief leads to. This is the consequence of unbelief. The world in this present time is full of unbelief, full of unbelievers. You know this. You go to your workplace is full of unbelievers. You go to your school, you young people, your school is full of unbelievers. The teachers are unbelievers. On the street where you live is full of unbelievers. This world is full of unbelief. But you see, this is why so many people are lost. This is why so many people are lost in this world. Why so many people are just wandering like the Israelites in the wilderness. They are wandering their way through life, fruitlessly, aimlessly, seemingly without any purpose. They wander from one thing to the next. Well, I used to know people before I was saved, certainly. This is how they would live. They would wander. They would go from one thing to the next, from one hobby to the next, from one job to the next, from one even relationship to the next. They're just wandering. They're lost. They don't really know what they're doing because of their unbelief. They won't turn to the Lord. Of course not. They are simply wandering in their life. They are lost. This is the consequence of unbelief. And they are never satisfied. You see, this is why people wander from one thing to the next. They're looking for something. This life is so empty without God. And they're looking to be filled. And they're going from one thing and they're not being satisfied. So they go to another. This relationship, maybe this relationship will satisfy me. It doesn't. They go to another. Maybe this job, that job. It's because of this emptiness within. Without God, there is always an emptiness. And we are going the wrong way. But dear friends, the Lord shows us the right way. The way where we can be filled, the way of satisfaction. We see it even in this psalm. Look at verse 9. "For he, God, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Dear friends, this is the way of satisfaction. Satisfaction for the soul. The soul. We, of course, I say this very often, we as human beings, we are body and we are soul. Every single one of us has a soul. It's the very essence of our being. And it's the soul that needs to be satisfied, dear friends. It's the soul that needs to be satisfied. The world, well, it is full of entertainments. It's full of music. It's full of movies. It's full of experiences, places that you can go. But dear friends, nothing can fill the soul except God, except knowing Him, except walking with Him. So this is why people feel so empty. Perhaps you've known this. You're going from one thing to the other. Maybe this will help me. Maybe this will help me. But you can't find anything. I remember, just to digress a little, I remember a testimony of a Christian man, and he was explaining this, how before he was saved, well, he used to listen to a rock song. Some of you will know it. I can't find no satisfaction. And he said that song, well, it was singing his life. That was his life. He couldn't find any satisfaction, and he tried and he tried and he tried. It was only when he turned to the Lord. Then he was satisfied, because it's the Lord. He satisfieth the longing soul. The world can gratify the body. It can do nothing for the soul. You must go to the Lord. He fills us. And when you go to Him, well, then you will truly know the way of satisfaction. The right way, you see. This is the right way to be filled. This is the right way to know true fulfillment and true joy and peace. This is the right way. But even despite all this, we have to point this out. The way of the Lord, the right way, is an unpopular way. And I've already touched on this. I've mentioned already how there are so many unbelievers. You show them the way of God. You speak to them about the way of salvation. They don't want it, do they? It's an unpopular way. And we have that verse, don't we, in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the broad and the narrow way, the broad way, the wide way, which is the way that everyone goes. That is the way that is the wrong way. And it's only the narrow way. It's the narrow way, the unpopular way, the way that only a few go in. That is the right way. So it's the right way, but it's very unpopular. It's the narrow way. Only a few people choose it. All the rest of the world will go the wide way, which is the wrong way, dear friends. You have to find your way to the right way, to the narrow way. And well, this is so sad. We see the world, we see the masses going the wrong way. We see so much of our nation going the wrong way. This is why the nation has lost its way. Hasn't the nation lost its way? Because Christianity is so unpopular in this land particularly. And so no wonder this nation has lost its way. It is declining because they are following that way that leads to decline. But how about us, dear friends? We can speak about the nation and complain about the nation. How is it with us? Do we go the right way, or is it unpopular? Well, it's in the nature of man to not want the right way. How often in our lives do we know what the right thing is to do, and yet we don't do it? This is our nature, isn't it? We've all been like this. We've been faced with situations. We know what the right thing is to do. We don't do it. We choose the other way. That's the nature of man. That's part of our fallen nature. This is the tragedy of man ever since Adam. Adam, well, let's take him. He knew what the right thing was to do. Of course he did. God had told him, don't take of the fruit of that tree. He knew the right thing. He did the wrong thing. And we are all just like him. You see, we are like our father Adam. We know what the right thing is to do, but we choose the wrong thing. This is the great tragedy of man. He chooses the thing that is wrong, the thing that harms others, the thing that harms even his own soul. And it all stems from our rebellion against God. And of course, well, this is one way we can apply it, which is very applicable to us. When we hear the gospel of God's grace, there are some here who, you know it's the right thing to do. Those of you who are not saved. You hear the gospel perhaps many times. Every week you come here to hear the gospel. You know it's the right thing to do. to follow the Lord Jesus, the way of peace, the way of forgiveness, the way of holiness. That's the right way. You are supposed to live a holy life. You're not supposed to be sinning. Sinning is the wrong way. Every sin that you commit, you are heading the wrong way. The right way is to follow the way of holiness, to repent, to have faith. You know that you ought to trust in the Lord. It's the right thing. What you do the wrong thing. Repeatedly as well. You aggravate your sin. You make your sin worse by doing the wrong thing repeatedly. Every time you hear the gospel, I'm going to turn away. Dear friends, this is so very sad. And well, we know because the word of God tells us there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Dear friends, so many people hear the gospel and they think they know better. I know the right way. Yes, all these Christians will go the way of God, but I will go the way that seems right in my own eyes. It's the way of destruction. That's what the Bible says. It's the way of destruction. The way that seems right to you is the way of everlasting loss. And dear friends, this is so very sad. Indeed, this is a kind of slavery. I ought to mention this before I go on to the next point. Because we read here in verses 10 and 11, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. You see, here in this part of the psalm, the rebellion of the people is almost seen as a slavery. They are bound in affliction and iron. And dear friends, this is the case for you. Anybody here hears the gospel, you know it's the right thing, but you're not going to choose it. It's a kind of slavery. You're actually in chains to your own sin, in chains to your own lusts and desires. You see the right way, you can't possibly go to it. It's a slavery, dear friends. It's not freedom. You think you're free to do whatever you want? It's a slavery because you can't choose the right way. The right way. Dear friends, you have to cry to the Lord. Lord, break these chains. Break these bands asunder, we read, don't we, in this psalm. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Dear friends, this is you if you reject the gospel. You're in darkness. You're in the shadow of death. One day you will come to the end of your life. Where will you be? You're in the shadow of death. Say to the Lord, break these chains. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. That's what you ought to say. That's how you ought to pray. But dear friends, let me go on to my next point. Now, I've mentioned the right way is not a popular way. But the right way also is not an easy way. It's not an easy way. Now, again, perhaps I speak to Christians here to dispel this myth that if you become a Christian, your life is a bed of roses, there are no problems, everything goes your way. That is not the testament of the scriptures or the testimony of the scriptures. It's not an easy life. Of course not. Christians are called to live a holy life, as I've just mentioned. It's not easy to live a holy life in a fallen world such as this, where there's so much sin, where there's so much temptation. It's not easy. But nevertheless, it's the right way. It's not easy because of the persecution. And we've prayed for our brothers and sisters all around the world who will be hated this day. And even in this land, we know persecution of some kind, criticism, we're attacked. Christians, of course, they are the most persecuted group in history. The most persecuted people, make no doubt about it. But why is that? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ, this was the way that he went. You know, we read, don't we? He led them forth by the right way. There is someone leading us. our example in the right way. And it's the Lord Jesus who leads us by the right way. How did he live? Did he have an easy life? No, of course not. He was persecuted. He was hated. Remember what he said. If the world hates you, ye know it hated me first. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We are followers of Christ. We're followers of him. He has led the way. He was persecuted. He was hated. If we are following him, we too, we will be persecuted. We will be hated. It's not an easy way, but it's the right way. And dear friends, we remember, of course, the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a difficult trial. What a terrible trial. Words cannot express how terrible the Lord's experience was on the cross. And remember how Simon Peter, the disciple, he tried to discourage the Lord from going to the cross. The Lord said to the disciples, said to Simon, I must go to Jerusalem. I will be betrayed. I will be put to death. I will go to the cross. Simon Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. Don't go that way. There's an easier way. He thought he knew the right way. Don't go that way. Don't go to the cross. There's an easier way. You don't have to suffer. That was the way that seemed right in his own eyes. Take the easy way. But that would have been the wrong way. That would have been the way to destruction for all of us. If Christ had never gone to the cross, think of it, there would be no hope for any of us. There would be no hope of salvation. There would be no hope of anybody being right with God. No hope of forgiveness. No hope of heaven. We'd all go to hell. Rightly, justly, deservedly, because of our sin. If he had followed Simon Peter's advice, if he had gone the wrong way. But he took that way that led him to the cross. He suffered and died for us. We have sinned. Of course, each and every one of us. We have all rebelled against God. This is what we are like by nature. But Christ on the cross, he took the punishment upon himself. He suffered and died, and that was the right way. It was the way of salvation. It was the way of love. It was the way in which he expressed his love for us. What a wonderful way to know all our sins, to know all the things that we've done in public and in private, all the secrets we would never share with anybody else. Christ knows them. And he took upon himself the punishment, the wrath of God, the anger of God. He was condemned in our place instead of us, so that we may be forgiven all our sins. Dear friends, it seemed to be the wrong way. Even Simon Peter, a disciple, thought it was the wrong way. It was the right way. It was the way everlasting. And again, dear friends, if there's anybody here, you don't know the Lord. You think it's the wrong way. It's the right way for you. It's that way everlasting. And that brings me to my final heading this morning. It's the way that leads to glory. The way that leads to glory. Dear friends, how do you judge anything? How do you really make a good judgment or an assessment on anything, any idea? Any philosophy, any way of behavior? Well, let me put it to you in this way, how you can make a good assessment of anything. How does it end? How does it end? How do you judge anything? If I'm reading a book, or there was a time when I used to review films for a student newspaper, and if I have to review films, I have to watch it to the end. I can't just watch halfway through it. If I want to make a judgment, an assessment on something, I have to see the whole thing. How does it end? Dear friends, that is how you judge anything. This is how you judge the way that you are taking in your life. How does it end? How will it end for you? Dear friends, we know how it ends for the Lord's people. Even in this verse, we have a glimpse of our eternal destination. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Well, of course, in the context, Jerusalem was mentioned here. They were wandering in the wilderness, but the Lord led them ultimately to Jerusalem, to a city of habitation where they could live together. But ultimately, dear friends, we as the Lord's people, we are heading for the new Jerusalem. At the end of the book of Revelation, we see that glorious city coming down from heaven, prepared for the Lord's people. This is the new Jerusalem. And these words are fully fulfilled at the very end of time. That will be the city of habitation, a place where we can really live. You cannot really live anywhere. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and he was saying, where can you go in this world to avoid all the trials? Of course, many people are leaving this nation because they don't want to live here anymore. But he was saying, where could you go? Where in the world can you go that's better, where you will find true peace, true joy? Where can I go? What city can I go to? Dear friends, it's this city. This is the only city where you will know true joy and true peace. There's nowhere in this world. This is a sinful world, and it's getting more sinful by the minute. You want to live in a place where there's true joy, happiness, rest for your souls? It's this city, but you have to follow the right way. You have to follow Christ. You have to repent, turn away from this world and the way of the world. That's the wrong way. And turn yourself entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Entirely. That is the right way, dear friends. It's the way that leads to life, not destruction, not everlasting loss or death. It's the way that leads to everlasting joy. Dear friends, this is what is presented here. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. May the Lord bless each and every one of us. May the Lord turn us to the right way.